Welcome to Nevertheless, a show dedicated to organic leaders and leaderpreneurs. Today, you will discover how to discern your essence and live powerful.
Hi, this is Nevertheless, the show for organic leaders and leaderpreneurs. My name is Bidemi Makmodi. Always a great time to spend bringing this show your way.
I'm actually really excited about today's show. I promise you, as I'm saying this, I'm just smiling. I'm smiling for a whole number of reasons. My baby Ijeoma, it's her birthday today. No, not my biological daughter, but someone that the Lord has gifted to me to add a lot of value to my life. So I'm just excited that the Lord has spared her life, and today is a great day for us to rejoice. I'm also pretty excited because of today's show. As I prepared, I was just like, whoa. Even though I say so by myself, it's one show that you want to keep. It's one show you need to go back to over and over and over again so that you get the gist of this True North series. So last week we started the series on the True North. And when we were starting, I did define the True North as an orienting point or your stable point. What that means is that it is the point in an individual's life where he takes off from every time to go and make magic and do the things that he's called to do. When you talk about your True North, there are the things that it's that place from which your values come, the place or the part of your life that determines the success of every other aspect of your life. And we looked at what True North was not. We looked at how to recognize your True North, the hallmarks of your True North, and so much more. If you missed that episode, I would encourage you to go back and download it, listen again. Because a lot of us talk about finding our sweet spot, but very few of us recognize that your sweet spot would only work for you if you know what your True North is. So today we are going to be advancing in that series. This is our second episode in that series, and we're looking at relationships. What role do relationships play in the issue of True North, or the issue of orientation and stability? What are the kind of relationships that you need to look out for? And what other kinds of relationship must you not get involved in? This and so much more is what I'm set to bring your way today. It's still the Nevertheless show, and I promise you, this will be worth your while. Don't go away. I need to take a short break.
Are you frustrated and tired of life? Do you feel trapped in life's maze and don't seem to find your way? Or are you passionate about your purpose and destiny and want to find out more? Then get a copy of DNA. DNA, Destiny Navigational Application, is a book written by Bidemi Makmodi, where she coaches you to distill the answer to the cry of purpose, mandate, and significance. She teaches you how to discern your essence, discover your God-given mandate, deploy power, and demonstrate dominion. Get a copy of Destiny Navigational Application from any bookstore near you or call 234-813-360-2883 or send an email to bidemi@bidemimakmodi.com to place your order now.
Welcome back. It's still the Nevertheless show. My name is Bidemi Makmodi, and it's our second installment in this True North series, and we are looking at relationships today. I don't want to begin to try to define relationships for you, but you know that each and every one of us is created for relationships. What that means is that none of us can do life all by ourselves. So whether it's a marriage relationship, whether it's a sibling relationship, whether it's a parent-child relationship, whether it's a colleague at work, whether it's a business partner, all of these are kinds of relationships, and they get to play a role, whether directly or indirectly, in what you become and how successful you are in delivering on what God has called you to be. So What are those kinds of relationships that are bound, and what are we supposed to do? Read these relationships. When you look at your life, what is it that you know, or who is it in your life that because of them you can say that your life has been richer? Who are those other people that anytime they come around you, you feel like someone sucked energy out of you? Why do these things matter, and how do they affect your orienting point in life? There's a saying that says, show me your friends and I will tell you who you are. That saying essentially means that you can tell who is going to be a success just by the kinds of people that they go around with. And while this sounds like old wives' tales, I can tell you that it's very real. I have read many times, I can't tell you exactly who first of all released this quotation. There is a quote that even I have used a couple of times, and that's the quote that says that every man is the sum total of the five people that are closest to him. Every man is the sum total of the five people that are closest to him. So if you want to be successful in the things that God has called you to, at every season of your life, you want to look at the sum total of the people that surround you. This didn't just come out of the blue for me. I'm in the phase of my life where the Lord said to me that he's going to consolidate everything that he has given me to do and I've been doing in fragments, and that he's going to consolidate it into one whole piece. And what has happened in that regard is, in the place of trying to consolidate these things, I can't do it by myself. I need people. So I think a couple of weeks ago, the Lord said to me, he said, I need to look at the covenants of the people that are around me. Because if they are not deep in God enough, then obviously they won't be able to deliver on what God has called me to. So what that means is, I'm looking at my closest support system again, and I'm asking myself, whose season is over? Who do I need to make room for? Now, before I get ahead of myself, I want to talk about my children. I have three children. As of today, one is age 21, the second one is age 18, and the third one is 16. The way we raise our children is that they will be friends with each other. So we find that my children can stay in the same house for a whole month and they can do stuff together. They like all the same, they share all the same jokes, they like all the same kind of movies. Well, not 100%, but the thing is, my children, we have raised them to learn to do life together. This is important, you know, and I'm starting from somewhere. If you follow me, we'll get where we need to go. This is important for me to highlight, because when we were growing up, we heard a lot about sibling rivalry. And so one of the things we said, I and my husband consciously decided we would do or we would not allow, was to have sibling rivalry in our house. What that meant was, as the parents, we did not compare our children. Everyone has their strength and everyone is able to do what it is that they're able to do. We try our best to allow each and every one of them to be able to exercise themselves and express themselves in the way that God is put them together for us. So we never have, oh, you go and look at what your sister is doing. We don't do that comparison. Because of that, my children don't get to resent each other. At least, I know that much. They quarrel. Oh yeah, they quarrel a lot. So I'm not saying that they don't quarrel. They quarrel a lot. But I have not had the opportunity of being afraid to tell my older son that his sister crushed her exam. You know, it's not a consideration for us, because he knows that we've told him, and he knows that he is just perfect the way he is. We have no need to say to my daughter that her younger brother has done something outrageously or fantabulously well in this regard. Because there is no need. We made sure that we didn't let them get into the place where sibling rivalry was something that they struggled with. Why am I talking about the relationship between my children? I'm talking about the relationship between my children because that is what I call default relationships. The first set of relationships any one of us will have will be the one with our parents and the one with our children. And because this is the first set of relationship we have, even as close as my children are, my son and my daughter actually live in the same apartment right now because they're in the same school. But when July comes and my son graduates, then he has to find his path. I don't know that they will ever share a roof again, except when they visit us as our children. Because my son has ideas where he wants to go. My daughter is still in school. My younger one will join my daughter. And as seasons change, relationships change. So even though we've trained them to be friends with each other, we also know that a day is going to come that my daughter's closest friend will no longer be her brother. My son's closest friend and confidant will no longer be his sister. And that is okay. Because when we talk about true north and relationships, remember we're talking about our orienting point, the point from which we take off. There is a faulty thinking that goes around that says that default relationships always have to be the relationships that will help us succeed. And that's not the case. Default relationships are great. I'm almost 50. Imagine how old my mother is. And one of my mother's biggest prayers is that her children would consistently be united. They will always be able to do life together. And so I have 5 siblings and we do life together. But our lives only intersect when it is necessary. We don't live under the same roof. We live in different cities. We're doing different things. We don't necessarily have to eat the same kind of food. Even when we show up for family events, we don't necessarily have to act the same way because we're different people. We're all, practically all of us are married except for my youngest brother. We're doing life differently. We're doing life under different cultures. So when we come, yes, there's a fundamental of the fact that we are siblings. And so the thing that binds us together is that we come from the same parentage, but we also disagree. And so there are things from the season of my life today that my sister or my brother is not the first person I will call if I need to make a decision concerning. Not because they are not important to me, but because their relevance in the thing that I want to have a conversation concerning is lower than the person I'm going to be calling. So if I need to make a ministry decision, I will not be calling my siblings. Because they are not only one of my siblings is in ministry with me. Every other person is doing their thing. As a matter of fact, it looks like all of my mother's children are ministers in one regard or the other. But we're not all doing ministry in the same place. So I don't expect that they will always be on board with what I want to do. They will always drop everything that they are doing to show up when I'm doing stuff. What that means is that for this season of my life, default relationships are not the most powerful relationships for the season of the life that I'm in. So my siblings have a say in my life. My siblings want me to succeed. My siblings support me. But they are not my greatest cheerleaders right now. They believe in what I'm doing. But there are other people that are more vested in this season of my life than my siblings. And that is okay. Because until you understand that when it comes to relationships, this is a true north position. To recognize that as your seasons evolve, so will your relationships begin to evolve as well. Things will begin to change. And the people that come into your life and go out of your life will be altered over and over and over. It is a bad decision to insist that your relationships will be the same relationship for all of your life. Because what it will mean is that if they don't grow, then you don't grow. If they lack a skill and you need that skill, then you will not get what you need to do done. So for the place that you are in today, are you still hanging on to default relationships? That's the first question I want to ask you. You need to sit down thinking through. Some of you still have friends from primary school, and that's great that you've been able to sustain a relationship for 40 years, for 30 years, for 20 years. But are they relevant for all the critical decisions you need to make today? Because if they are not relevant, but they are the first set of people you always call, then what has happened is you are missing something. And because they will have a gap, especially if they don't have the skill and they don't have the wherewithal to help you or pull you into the place that you need to go next, what's going to happen is you will have trusted people. You will have people who love you, but you will not make progress. Considering that I am a ride and die kind of person, this was hard for me to understand when I started to come into this place, to recognize that, oh, I will not always do life with the same set of people. So whatever season I am in, whoever I am doing life with in that season, I celebrate them. I enjoy them. I do what I can to empower them, just as they are empowering me. So that when that season is over, there will be no regrets. Now, what am I saying? Does this mean that we will lock people out of our lives simply because a season is over? That's not what I'm saying. People's relevance in our lives will change depending on what it is that we are doing and what it is that God has called us to do. So now that we know that, we have looked at default relationships. These are relationships, people that you grew up in the same neighborhood together, people you went to primary school together, your siblings, your cousins, like they were foisted on you because you did life with them in that early stage of your life. They are great for you, but they are not necessarily the relationships you should be hanging on to today. When I come back, we're going to move to another kind of relationship and we're going to examine it too. I told you it was going to be exciting, so please don't go away. I'll be right back.
In a world filled with many fears and discouragements, life often becomes a burden. For those who know the way, life's just simple. Don't worry, you're not alone on this life's journey as Bidemi shares powerful insights and principles from her everyday work and life experiences in her book, Nevertheless. Nevertheless is a book designed to encourage and equip you to face life with courage, hope, and determination. Get a copy of Nevertheless from a bookstore near you or call 234-813-360-2883 or send an email to bidemi@bidemimacmody.com to place your order now. I guarantee you, you will make it nevertheless.
Welcome back. I want to talk about another relationship, a marital relationship. The choice of who you marry determines to a large extent how you will succeed in what God has called you to do. I was blessed. I didn't have to make the choice by myself. And personally, that's one of the greatest things that God did for me. God was the one that made that decision for me. And when I say he made the decision for me, I mean literally he made the decision for me. It wasn't me praying about who should I marry. It was him literally manifesting this person and saying, this is the person you marry. And I'm grateful that happened to me. Because prior to that time, I had a habit. It wasn't because I didn't pick relationships. I just picked all the bad boys. And thank God, because where I'm at now, no bad boy would have allowed me to be where I'm at and do the things that I did. So when it was time for that kind of relationship, especially because I didn't want to marry really, God had to do the extra concerning me to bring me to the person that I end up marrying. And I promise you, I would never have chosen as good as the Lord chose for me. What am I saying? If you make the decision to marry the wrong kind of person, please hear me. And don't forget I use the word kind. Because I am not of the school of thought that there is only one person that you can marry. There is a kind of person that you can marry. And the truth of the matter is, if you marry the wrong kind of person, it can break you for life. It can cripple you for life. So this is one very key true north relationship that you want to take time and forge. It is never okay to just marry someone because they looked the part. They are tall, they are dark, they are handsome. It is never okay to marry a woman because she's fair and she has a figure eight. When it comes to the figure eight, can I tell you something? She just needs to be a mother of three children and then she needs to hit middle age and the fat refuses to go. I'm not even eating yet. I'm not losing weight. So imagine. So whatever you see on the outside, that's the reason why you are about to make a decision for marriage. Recognize that this person will have a 50%, actually 100% input to the person that you will become. Because marriage isn't 50-50. It is 100-100. So this person brings 100 and that person brings 100. That's the contribution we make in our marriage relationships. So if you get yourself into a marriage relationship that is wrong for you, simply because you were not patient enough to pick or to choose properly or allow God to choose for you, it will be a lifetime of regret. And I know you're smart and I know you're godly enough not to allow yourself be pulled into a lifetime of regret. So we've looked at two kinds of relationships. We looked at default relationships, relationships with siblings, with parents, with childhood friends and all of that. And we've looked at the choice of a marital partner to understand that it's a call true not decision who you choose to marry ultimately. It is better late than to marry in a hurry and crash in a hurry. And so, who are you planning to marry? Question. Have you checked it out? Did you speak to God about it? This is a true north relationship you are trying to forge here. Don't mess it up. Now let's move on. In 2010, the Lord came and spoke to me. Prior to that time, I'd been working in his vineyard. I've been doing everything he's called me to do, but I've been doing it mostly by myself. I had a few people who worked with me, but they were not working with me at the level of helping me, maybe not necessarily helping me make decisions. They were with me to support me. By the time we got to 2010, God said to me, it is time to elevate your relationships. Because if you do not elevate your relationships, you will not be able to deliver on the next season of your life. The exact words he spoke to me was, it is time to stop flying solo and go collaboration. I never thought about collaboration before. I never thought I was one that my temperament would allow for collaboration. Because I pretty much love me. I like my corner. I'm introverted like that. I can be timid if you like. And I have no problem with being any of those things. I'm not apologetic about being that kind of person. And here was God saying to me, you need a collaboration. You need to walk into the space of collaborations. Because there are places you need to go. And only someone else that I had positioned and is waiting to connect with you will open the doors for you to go there. I'm grateful to God today that I made that move. I'm grateful to God today that I pushed in that direction. I'm grateful to God today that I listened to him when he said that thing. Because when he said it to me, even though I had no clue, I sat with his word for a whole year studying on collaborations to understand how God forges collaborations and how he expects us to deal within collaborations. It was out of that that my book Sister Power was born. And in that space, God brought people into my life that have enhanced my life. In the last season of my life, they've enhanced my life to such an extent that each time I think about the fact that I only met most of them in 2011 and how far we've gone, I ask myself, where were they all my life? Now, the thing about these kinds of relationships is that they are what I call destiny relationships. The ones that have been positioned and prepared by God from the foundations of the earth so that you can move forward. And in doing that, you are also positioned in their lives so that they can move forward. These kind of relationships don't happen in beer parlors. And the beer parlor is not a bad place. That's not what I'm saying. These kind of relationships don't just happen on the road. These are intentional relationships. Because after the Lord spoke to me about these kinds of relationships, that there was going to be some level of relationship that I needed to walk in, the first thing I did was I took time out to pray. I had to pray these people into my life because for the life of me, I didn't know what they looked like. I didn't know where they lived. I didn't know what they had. I didn't know what they were bringing. So it was safer for me to go to God and say, Lord, bring the right people into my life. And in that place that I was praying and praying and praying, I was praying and then I was preparing myself to be the person who could walk effectively in a relationship. God started to gather them. He brought one by a book. I bought a book. I read it. The book was written by Anna McCoy. It's titled Woman Act Now. And in reaching out to her, God forged a collaboration for all time for me. Another one I met at the lobby of a hotel after a workshop we had attended and we were going back home and we were both waiting for our drivers. That person is Audrey Joy Zibu and she has brought tremendous value to my life over the years. Another one I met because her office called me to ask if they could do something with us. And that person is Ian Samuel-Rube and she has affected my life in ways that only she could have in this season of my life. Another one came into my life by reading Effectual magazine, and that person is Enife Atobiloye. And in reading Effectual magazine, she reached out to me, and I have gained a sister for life. Another one, somebody gifted her the magazine far away in Switzerland. She read it and she sent me an email. And she sent me an email on a day that my life was at one of its lowest ebbs concerning the things that God had called me to do. That person is Irene Olumesi and she has added massive value. I've seen what it meant to walk with God through adversity, through this woman. What am I saying? There are so many more that I can't mention right now. But I'm saying that when you come across destiny relationships, the moment they show up, the trajectory of your life changes. With these relationships, the world opened up to me. Not only Nigeria. I mean the world literally opened up to me. It is with these women that I could dream that my children could school abroad. It is with these women that I could dream that I would go abroad to speak. And these were things that God has spoken to me, but I didn't have the boldness to even articulate to anyone because they looked like it was important. Now you say, does that mean that they paid your way? No, they didn't pay my way. It wasn't that they bought my tickets. What it meant was that in my constant interaction with them, they opened my eyes, not by preaching at me or anything, to what was possible. I bought into their dreams and their capacity to dream. And that has enhanced my life at a level that I could never have gotten to. But for them, these are destiny relationships. Now, if you look at it properly, most of them were in their late 30s when we met. I was in my late 30s too. Some were even over 40 by the time we met. None of these women grew up with me. None of them lived in the same neighborhood with me. Not one of them went to the same school with me. But today we do life together. My children have become their children. Their children have become my children. And just like that, we're doing life at a level that I did not ever think was possible. Destiny relationships. The relationships that come to you, they are true not relationships to make sure that you up level in the things that you could do with yourself. Coach Anna McCoy was living life 5 years ahead of me. And in that relationship, our relationship has evolved many times now. And now I really don't know what it is. I just know she's my rocking chair buddy and we are going to be together till death calls us. We are going to be old and gray, possibly with no tooth in our mouths, but we will be still dreaming together and we'll be taking territories together. What's my point? True not relationships don't necessarily have to begin in your neighborhood. True not relationships need not be in your church. True not relationships need not live in the same city like you. True not relationships need not live in the same country as you do. True not relationships need not be in the same season of life that you are in. I have a sister and she is a divorcee. So she's not in the same season of life that I'm in. But she's a true not relationship to me. So you need to look at your relationships and say, which is true not? Which am I just passing through with? Now, I think that when it comes to relationship, I will not rush it. I'm going to take my time so that next week I'll come back. There's still so much I want to say when it comes to relationship. But we have looked at destiny relationships. We've looked at marital relationships. And we've looked at default relationships. Each of these relationships play a role in who you become and how effective you are in the things that God has called you to. But none of these relationships are the same. And so, yes, some people have been blessed that one default relationship ends up being a destiny relationship. But they are rare. That's one in like 10,000, if not more. So you find that it's not in every case that that happens. So what does this mean? It means that I have to be open to recognize that the person I went to primary school with may not be relevant to me in secondary school. Doesn't make them a bad person. Neither does it make me a bad person. It just means that as our lives are opening up, we are conquering new territories. New people would need to put their shoulders under our work so that we can get to the places that we need to get to. So when you take a look at these relationships, before I come back next week, I want you to look at your default relationships. Is your sister, that one that is your sibling, the one that you call concerning everything? You need money, you call her. You need ideas, you call her. You need to make a choice in outfits, you call her. When you have trouble in your marriage or something is not quite right in your marriage, you call her. You are sick, she's the first person you call. You want to make a business decision, you call her. Are you sure you are doing the right thing? Because no one person has all of these abilities. No one person. So if you are always going to call your sister, the tendency is you are missing out. You will have gaps because your mind is closed that you can only get what, you know, and I know why we do that. We do that because we've grown up with this person. We are comfortable with them. We trust them. They will not betray us, we say. But how do you know who will betray you or not if you don't give them a chance? And for someone who is an introvert, take it from me. These relationships matter. Just so that I will say it today, because next week, like I said, we will continue this talk on relationships. No two relationships will be the same. So I have destiny relationships right now. They are different people. So what they bring to the table differ. But what I know is that once I take from each one of them, I put together, my picture becomes fuller. So it's not even a situation of all the people that are around me have to be the same kind of people. Yes, there are things I look out for. Do we believe the same thing? Do we have the same kinds of value? Those are important to me because I'm predominantly in ministry. If I'm in ministry, then I don't want to be hanging with an unbeliever. I promise you, it may distract me. Not because he's a bad person, but because it can actually distract. So I want that belief is one key thing that I hold up. If you believe in the things that I believe, then we can journey together at the level that I'm talking about. So that is a true not component of relationships that I will not take. I will not let go of. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for us to be able to do life this close-knit like I'm talking about. But there are other people that bring value and don't quite believe at the level that these other women believe. I don't throw them out either. I work with them and I hope and prayerfully ask God that my life will mirror to them what it is that He is to me so that they can come into that level of relationship. So expect that all your relationships will be on the same key or at the same level is to actually make a mess of the diversity and variety that God wants to bring to your life to beautify it. So, we've come to the end of our show today. What have we talked about? We've talked about relationships. We've talked about different relationships. I've told you that yes, I've trained my children to be friends with each other. But I know that as the seasons of their lives continue to change, that things will shift. I don't expect my daughter to be my son's confidant when he gets married. I expect his wife to be that person to him. And I don't expect my son to be my daughter's first confidant. I expect her husband to be that person to her. Just the same way, as close as most people are to me, when the rubber hits the road, yes, when the tire hits the road, my husband is my first place of recourse. Of course, there's the God relationship that will close all of this out. But true not relationships are powerful. And you must never forget that these relationships evolve as you evolve. They are never stand still. Because of that, open your eyes. Forge the right relationships. Ask yourself the right questions. And your question should always be, where am I right now? Where do I need to go? And who do I need to go with me? Even if you don't have a name of the person, have an avatar of the kind of person who can help you get to the next level. And take that avatar to God and say, Lord, for what I need for my next level, this is the kind of person. And let the Lord be the one that makes the connection for you. Because here's one thing I can tell you for free, and you can take it to the bank. If I have a need today, there are people that God has prepared to meet that need. Whether I get to meet them or not would be dependent 100% on what my disposition is to brand new relationships. So, are you willing to exercise yourself and stretch yourself and open yourself up to brand new relationships? When I come back next week, I will land this talk on relationships and how they affect your true north orientation. Thank you for joining the show today. My name is Bidemi Makmodi. It's been the Nevertheless Show, a show for organic leaders and leaderpreneurs. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being part of my day. If you have a question, please reach out to me. You can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. The handle is the same, Bidemi Makmodi, my full name. Or you can even leave a comment on the website itself, and I'll be glad to respond to you and see how it is I can help you or not on tie whatever mess your relationships might have become. And if you have a great relationship story, feel free to reach out to me. I'd like to hear what yours is like. Thank you so much for joining the show. Remember that if you embrace your superpower, you will live a powerful life. God bless you and have a fantastic rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nevertheless. For more information and resources, call 0813-360-2883 or send an email to bidemi@bidemimakmodi.com. Don't forget that when you discover your purpose, you will live powerful.